So if you guys want to start turning, you can start turning to Lamentations 3. It's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. And it's page 868 in my Bible. So you guys can start turning there. It's a little over halfway through the Bible. And those of you who know your Bible, you may have just cringed a little bit when I said Lamentations, because you know how much fun, uplifting verses are in Lamentations, and how many people have preached out of Lamentations. There's a lot of negativity in it, I'll be honest. It can kind of be a Debbie Downer, but there's some good lessons of what we can take from the prophet Jeremiah and what he's saying in this book. This week's message is almost a continuation of last week's sermon we had online, where we looked at what David wrote in Psalm 41. As many of you guys know, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. See, he saw what was going on with Israel. He saw their turning away from God. He watched people not only reject the truth of God, but he saw some of them get irate and try to take it out on Jeremiah himself. But he persevered in the call that God had on his life, even despite not seeing fruit of what he had been laboring for. See, he would speak God's word and then instantly get opposition so often. There would be times where he felt like what he was doing wasn't even making a difference, thinking, what's the point? Wondering why God would allow some of the things to happen. But he didn't give up. We often hear of what the Apostle Paul went through, all of his setbacks and afflictions, but Jeremiah was no stranger to it either. See, he endured being thrown into prison, he had floggings, got put into stocks, even an execution attempt against him, amongst other things. I'm sure you can see how Jeremiah probably had a hard time seeing God through it all sometimes. And you can't deny how much you hear people's hearts through the books of the Old Testament. The book of Lamentations, you see exactly where Jeremiah's heart was. Now we're going to be looking about midway through the chapter, but if you look at the first part of this chapter later on your own, the first portion here of Lamentations 3, Jeremiah is frustrated. He's mad. He's angry. He's questioning how God could allow all this. He's questioning if God caused all this to go on. He's sharing what his feelings of what it felt like. That Jeremiah cried out and felt like God wasn't hearing his prayers. That he shut him out. That he's become a target practice for his enemies. That he became the proverbial whipping boy. That his energy is wearing thin. That he's running out of steam. That he's losing hope. So here in Lamentations 3, starting in verse 19, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to all those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke of in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust, there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever." We shouldn't lose sight of the hope we find in the one true God. Lamentations is a hard book to read. It's not an easy thing to consider about a lot of times. We like the inspirational parts of the Bible that make us feel lifted up, the stuff that we highlight with a highlighter, not the stuff we want to highlight with a black Sharpie. But we have to realize and embrace that God is in it through it all. Now, you guys have heard us say that if you've been a Christian for more than a few days, you know things are not always going to go your way. We're going to go through some stuff. We shouldn't be surprised when we go through it either. The same was for Jeremiah. He went through some things. But even with it all, he recognized and he didn't lose hope. Now, we started out in this chapter, and Jeremiah was not trying to act like he wasn't going through stuff. He even draws it to God's attention. He puts it before his mind to bring it up to God, to bring it up to the one who can actually do something about it. He doesn't hide his feelings about what's going on, admitting his bitterness in the situation even. Just a word study for you guys. If you ever see wormwood in the Bible, it's usually referring to something bitter and grief. A lot of times it was actually used as a punishment. It was also poisonous, much like how bitterness can become poison to our own well-being. Out of the Message Bible for Lamentations 3:19 through 21, I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember. The feeling of hitting the bottom. But there is one thing I remember. In remembering, I keep a grip on hope. The prophet here realizes that he has hit rock bottom. That he's gotten to the point where he feels like he can't go any further down. When you get to that point of your low, and you realize that there's something solid that you've got to be able to stand on, and he realizes that that one solid foundation is God. He recognized that this is something he can grab onto. That he's got the ability to stand on God. That his hope is in God. Even when you don't feel like things are looking up, they are looking up. It's hard, but he is there. Reading again, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It's because of God's mercies that we aren't consumed. Even though things are going south all around us, we aren't finished off. It's kind of like the burning bush in the desert with Moses. It might be burning. There's definitely a flame going out from around it, but it was never consumed. Likewise, we are never consumed because of God being right there with us. The word mercies here in verse 22 is the Hebrew word hesed. That word can also be translated a couple other ways as well. It can be called kindness, goodness, favor. His mercies are his covenantal love for us. He is faithful to show us his love. If God did it for Jeremiah, he will do it for us. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His mercies are new every morning. He'll never run out of it. He has compassion that doesn't fail. He will pull us through. He will give us His strength because we've gone past where we can on our own. He is faithful, and He gives us new mercies every morning. Now, it's not just that He gives us mercy only in the morning, but it's a constant stream of mercy that He gives us, a stream that brings with it hope. In verse 24, it says that the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. Again, Jeremiah is saying that his hope is in God. The Lord is my portion here makes me think of inheritance. In fact, if you look at Psalm 16:5, O Lord, You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. He's our portion of the estate. All the earthly things can fall apart. Our bodies can fall apart. But our soul says, no, God is my portion. No matter what, He won't fall apart. He can't be destroyed. He will remain. So my hope is in Him. The Message Bible here says, I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. That's the way it feels sometimes too, don't it? He's all we've got. But with that, we've got everything. You know, right before this verse, Jeremiah was recognizing and proclaiming God's faithfulness. There's good reason to keep our hope in Him. Even when we're in the midst of our troubles, we cling to God. When it doesn't seem like we're advancing, and all we can do is maintain our position, we stick with God. When it feels like the enemy is winning and pushing us back, and he's getting the upper hand, we persevere in the hope in God. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We make God our portion, and He is faithful to comfort us. He is faithful to strengthen us. He is faithful to fight for us. Now, there's a common word here in the next three verses. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It's good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to hear, to bear the yoke in his youth. God is good. He's constantly good. He's not just good when things get fixed, when our enemies get dealt defeat, when we're prospering. He's good all the time. He's good to those who wait for God. Because when you wait, you actively show your dependence on God. He's good to the soul who seeks Him. He's good even when we hope and we just wait. He's good when we bear His yoke in doing the work. It's going to be work, but He's going to make it easy for us to go through it. Seeking and waiting on God strengthens our relationship with Him. It pushes past the pain, the hurt, the frustration. It focuses on God and His goodness. It keeps our hope in Him. We wait for God because He is worth waiting for. Jeremiah continues in verse 28, Let him sit alone and keep silent because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust, there may yet be hope. Now, this does not mean to literally be silent and not cry out to God. It's to keep silent before men. Not to run your grief and announce it to the world. Now, I don't do social media well. I get on it just for a few minutes, scroll through it, and then turn it off. Mostly I see dad jokes and coffee memes. I'll say I actually got rid of Facebook for a number of years because too often it would seem that people would just be a lot of negative Nancys. That it was a platform to air their complaints on, how things weren't going their way. Don't get me wrong, there are some positive things that are posted on there. But a lot of it just seems so negative. Hardly brings life to any situation. Last thing we should be doing is posting about how things aren't going our way. Trying to get a pity party going. Having a woe is me attitude. I almost wondered if Jeremiah wasn't referring to this when he was saying the same thing here. Don't go broadcasting your problems. Put your mouth in the dust. Humble yourself before God. Sit and wait for God to respond. Take it to Him because He's going to be the one to do something about it. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, it's good to have people you can call and say you're going through something. Looking for an encouraging word. Having them pray with you. Looking for where the peace and the joy is in the situation. But the main thing is, it should be God that you're running to, not to everyone in the world. Yes, we'll go through some things, but it doesn't mean that we'll all go through the same thing. No matter what it is, though, God is right there with us. Great is His faithfulness. Sometimes God doesn't show us stuff until after we've gone through it, though. Shows us what He's been doing in it the whole time. And then we recognize His hand in the deliverance from it. Verse 30 here. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Any sickness, disease, hardship, tough time, it's all temporary. Even if it's a part of what ends our life here on earth, it's still temporary. Because we have the victory in the long run. If it takes our life early here, we'll just be spending more time with our Creator. That is our hope. That despite everything going on in the physical, our eternal destination is already taken care of. No, God doesn't bring the hardship, but He does allow them to come. But it still strengthens us. It strengthens our relationship with Him as well. It reveals the tactics of the enemy. But God is our hope and our strength. I'm going to read a number of these verses from the Message translation now, starting in verse 25. God proves to be good to the man who patiently waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It is a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. It's a good thing when you're young to stick it out through the hard times. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask questions, wait for hope to appear. Don't run from trouble, take it full face. The worst is never the worst. Why? Because the Master won't ever walk out and fail to return. If He works severely, He will also work tenderly. His stockpiles of loyal love are immense. He takes no pleasure in making life hard, in throwing roadblocks in the way. Even when we cry out and it doesn't feel like God is listening, He is. When it doesn't feel like He's there with us, He still is. When we try to be silent and still hear nothing, it doesn't change the fact that He is still faithful. For me, there are times when I go and I fast and I seek God with what's going on and I don't hear Him while I'm fasting. The response usually comes afterwards. But man, is it a floodgate when He starts revealing and downloading stuff to me. Hang in there. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Press into God. It's a marathon, not a sprint. One last scripture here. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nothing can separate us from the love that Jesus has for us. Nothing can keep us from running to the Father. There ain't no weapon here on earth or plan that the enemy can throw at us that's going to have victory. God is right there with us. Great is His faithfulness. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. Lord, we thank You that with You we have hope. Lord, we thank You for the victory that we have that's already been planned out over the enemy. Lord, despite what everything going on with us, we recognize that You are still good. You are still the one true God. You are still sovereign. Lord, we thank You that You have so much more planned for us, Lord, that You are not finished. We come against every distraction that the enemy is trying to do to get us focused off of You and Your goodness, to try to discourage us, to try to get us to even turn bitter at all, Lord. Lord, we recognize that and we tell it to stop in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You that Your faithfulness is true. That You have so many promises for us, Lord. We look forward to seeing those promises answered, God. We thank You in advance for the prayers that we've been lifting up for so many of our family here. Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We recognize that You are still good. We love You. It's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.